Shalom, everyone. We're glad you're here. We appreciate you for coming out tonight. We're going to get right started in this. We got a lot to cover. And we got a lot less to cover, I should say, tonight than originally. But God is good, amen? It doesn't make a difference. We can still do it. We can still move on. So we appreciate you for coming out tonight, and thank you for showing your interest. This is a very important Torah portion. Again, this whole discussion, we're trying to understand what Yah likes and what He dislikes. And in this particular Torah portion, folks needed to pay attention to what He likes and dislikes, so we're going to find out that some folks were going through the motions and weren't really listening, weren't really paying attention, and it cost them their life. So there's a lot to cover here, but we're going to get started in this. So this week's Torah portion number 26, Shmini, everybody say Shmini, it's Hebrew for eighth, eighth. And you should have heard this word before. How many remember where this word's at? What feast is it? In Sukkot, the last great day is called Shemini Atzeret. And so, this is, we're going to show all the tie-ins in this, but the Torah portion is found in Leviticus chapter 9, verses 1 through chapter 11, verses 47. And then we have the Haftorah, Ezekiel 36, 16 through 38. And we have 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 19. Has anybody read your Haftorah this week? Very powerful. Very powerful. And so we know that in Ezekiel, he's going to visit God. Is there anything can stop that? Can anything stop that from happening? Not what the prophet said. He said, it shall be, and it shall be. And then we have Uzzah. How many remember Uzzah? We have David going to move the Ark of the Covenant. There are certain restrictions. There were certain commands and rules. Did they follow them? No. Was the ark supposed to be in a new cart? Was it supposed to be in a new cart? Was supposed to be there? They were supposed to bear the ark by the Levites, to bear it on the shoulders. That was the command. You can't deviate from that command, but they deviated from it. And when the ox stumbled, Uzzah reached out, and the Bible says he committed an error. Now, we don't have much to go on there, but the error that was committed was he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and thought he was doing a good deed. He was trying to stop it. A lot of people would say, you know, that's kind of confusing. If you don't know the Torah, you'd say, well, that's kind of confusing. He was trying to do a good deed, and now he's dead. Why would God do that? But you're not going to question God if you knew what the commands were concerning that. The commands were, it was not supposed to be done that way. Now, we know that when David done it the second time, did he change up some things? We read the story, he changed up some things, and he did it right. As a matter of fact, when they took the ark up on shoulder and started marching back to Jerusalem, every so many steps, they slaughtered an animal. It was a blood trail for 14 or 15 miles. They slaughtered an animal because they didn't want to make sure they were doing everything possible to make up for the mistake they were doing. And so we see that God has rules. Now, we're talking about in this particular portion, it's dealing with the eighth. So we're going to find out that we know that there's only 7 days in a week. So the eighth day would fall on the what? The first. So he's saying, what you learn on the seventh, it's your responsibility to do on the eighth. What you learn on Shabbat, it's your responsibility to do on the eighth. Means to be able to live it out, put it into practice. Not just hear it, but do it. And we're going to have those verses. We're going to see how they're so wonderful. I don't even know what I have left, but whatever I got, we're going to give it to you. So this week's Torah portion is Shemini, which means eighth, opens with the consecration. Was I supposed to hit that? I'm not sure, but it looks like it's supposed to. Oh, y'all in trouble now. Tighten your belts. So on the eighth day, this is the topics in the portion. On the eighth day, following the 7 days of their anointing and inauguration for the priesthood, Aaron and his sons begin to officiate the Kohanim, the priests. A fire issued forth from Elohim to consume the offering on the altar, and the divine presence comes to dwell in the sanctuary. Now this is important because you got to understand, the divine presence comes. Now when that divine presence comes, we're talking about the glory. How do we even get here? Because of the glory. You can't even understand the esteem of Elohim until you recognize that he has rules. So if you say, I want to be in the glory. You don't want to be in the glory unless you know what his rules are first, because you get in the glory without understanding his rules, you might not come out of the glory. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. When you see who I am versus who you are, you'll figure this out. Very important. And this is what we're going to find in this particular portion and what is presented here. Next, we see in the topics, Aharon's two elder sons, Nadab and Abihu, offers a strange fire before Elohim, which he commanded them not, and dies before Elohim. They die before him. Aharon is silenced in the face of tragedy. He don't say a word. When Aharon sees what happens to his sons, he don't say nothing, because he knew they just messed up, and he wasn't about to mess up, because he witnessed what happened to them, and it would have happened to Aharon. You think God would have spared Aharon? You think God would spare Moshe? He wouldn't spare them. If they get out of line when they're in his glory, when you don't recognize that there's somebody, the divine presence of Yehovah is there, and you're in his presence, you don't recognize that, honor that, and do everything possible to, you know, we had kings. There's kings today who reign, and they have rules. And in the Bible days, the king, if you went in before the king, you didn't turn around and say, okay, thank you, king, and then like this. You bowed yourself out constantly. Like, how many of you ever seen movies? This is not made up stuff. This is stuff that we see in the scripture. Because you are recognizing this king, in this kingdom, you recognize his worth or his glory. Well, we're talking about the Most High. The Most High. Think about that. Now, the Most High is now gave them all the instructions on what to bring. All the stuff was brought. How do we know it was brought? Because he showed up. Now he tells them, bring the priest in, because up to this point, who was doing the sacrifices? Moshe. Moshe was doing the sacrifice. He was doing everything. No wonder the guy was worn out. He was doing everything. And so, why was he doing it? Because he had the instruction straight from Yehovah. It was given to him. Now he had to take the priest inside, and he explains to them, listen, it's time for you to get clean. You got 7 days to consecrate yourself in mikvah. You got to clean up. There's no more game playing. You've been watching me from outside. You've been witnessing all this stuff. When you walk in this place, you got to make sure. Now, for 7 days, they're doing it. But how many know that chapter 9, starting with verse 2, it says, and on the eighth day, Shemini, it's time for Aharon to step up and do it. No different than us. Christ came and we know Moshe is a type of Messiah. Christ come and he showed us exactly what to do. And when we get born again, it's time for us to step up and do it ourselves. I mean, understand, that's the one thing nobody likes. They don't like this terminology. They want Yeshua just to keep doing. Keep doing for me. Keep doing for me. Keep doing for me. I mean, how many times the blood was applied? How many times was the blood applied? One time. And he went before Jehovah in that holy tabernacle, not made with hands, presents the blood once and for all, and then he steps back and he leaves it up to us. But he gives us set apart spirit to help us, instruct us, and show us the way. But we got to be doing something. How many understand? That's why I never forget. I never could get folks that say, well, don't get too much in works. Think you're getting back under the law. Well, I'm sorry for you, but maybe the problem is we left from under the law and we started doing it by man's law. And man's law will get you dead. And so we see here that the two sons run into some serious trouble, and we don't have time to get into all of what happened with them, but it's interesting. When you read the text, just slow, you'll find out why they got in trouble. Also in Shemini, we are some of the laws of ritual purity, including purifying power of the mikveh, a pool of water meeting specified qualification, and the wellspring. Thus, the people of Israel are enjoined to differentiate between the impure and the pure. I mean, no, that's our job. How can you know the difference between what's pure and impure if you don't know what they are? So if we you know, most folks, this one thing, I'll never forget this. When I was showing some interest in studying the Bible more, I was just a young man, right before I went into pastoring, I was listening to people talk, you know, all elders. And I had a question about Leviticus. Well, you might not want to fool with Leviticus too much, because they've got a lot of stuff in there we just don't know about. I said, okay. They're the elders. Maybe that's just leave it alone. Because I'm reading and I'm going, what about all this stuff? That don't apply to us today. And I've heard not just that conversation, but I've heard mention of Leviticus being something that's just a tough book. It's hard. You know, you get in all that stuff. It's just, that's not for us. You can see why. Because what it does, it grabs you up and says, okay, it's your turn. This is what Shemini is all about. It's telling Aharon and his sons, it's your turn. You think Moshe's going in there after that? He's not going in there. Moshe done his job. He showed them and explained to them. Now they're going to go in there and they have to do it, and they have to do it correctly. Now, they were 7 days in the presence of the Most High. Come out on the eighth day, and now it's their turn to do something. And it don't take but a couple of, they enter in, and they got, now Aaron's sons are dead, because I don't know what they forgot after 7 days of being in his presence. So you can go to all the services, you can make every Shabbat, and you can still wind up dead if you're not a doer. Just so everybody's clear on that. This ain't a joke. This is no joke. You don't halfway do this. You don't sometimes do this. If you're going to do what God wants you to do, you got to get all in. How many times Pastor Josh has said that over and over and over and over again? It's important, because you can't halfway do this. That's what the sons of Aharon did. And what happened? Let me tell you, if you're halfway doing it, it brings all sorts of things against you. Stuff just starts going squirrely on you in your whole life. And you got to constantly pray, Lord, I'm going to make sure. You don't have time to be checking on other people, worrying about what other people's doing. You're too busy making sure you're walking the line. You're doing what you need to do. You're staying busy. You got your cup in your hand, and you're walking as gently as you possibly can. You have a responsibility for you. And this is what Shemini's all about. He says, on the eighth day at Haran, it's time to get busy. Get your boys in here. It's time for you to do it. So they're going to take the bull, and they're going to... And so Aaron Moshe takes them through the process, but after that, it was their turn. Same thing with us. Yeshua takes us through the process, but it's our turn right now. If it ain't happening around you, it's not God's fault, and it's not Yeshua's fault. It's our fault. You want victory? You got to start being obedient to God, and victory comes. You want favor? I said this a couple Shabbats ago. You don't worry about getting money. You don't need money. You need favor. When you got favor in your life, the money follows. Blessings follow. You got to have favor. And if you get favor with God, He's going to give you favor with man. It's just the way it works. You don't have to seek favor. You don't have to say, you know, you bend the rule a little bit so you can get in good with somebody. Listen, when you bend the rule a little bit to get in good with somebody, you're getting out of line with the Most High. And you get out of line with Him, you're getting yourself in trouble. So I just want everybody to be clear on this. This is not a part-time thing. This is not some of the stuff I don't mind doing, but some of that just seems a bit weird to me. It's all weird. In today's society, all of it's weird. That's how the world looks at it. It's all weird. You're weird, I'm weird. Listen, it's good to be in the weird group. It's okay. But the thing is this. God says, this is what I want you to do. You have to do it that way. It's that simple. This week's Torah portion is called Shemini, Strong's 8066, which means eighth. And in the Hebrew text, we see that this portion begins with the phrase, and on the eighth day. It's kind of a strange statement because when speaking of weeks, we know we have 7 days in a week, then it starts one again. And so what's this eighth day? And so how many times we have an eighth day? Every day after Shabbat is an eighth day. So it's the first day of the week, but it's an eighth day. That means I have to be doing what I just learned from the previous Torah portion. Not thinking about doing it. Not being hesitant about doing it. I have to be doing it. What you heard in that Shabbat service, you got to take it all in. And if you didn't get enough of it, get every copy you can get. Listen to it over and over again because you have a responsibility on the what day? The eighth day. We have a responsibility. Very important. Which is written in the Hebrew text as follows. Vehi bayom hashemiti. The Hebrew word that is written as ha shemiti means the eighth. What we see here at the outset of this chapter is that it was now time for Aharon and his sons to step up and do what they had been set apart to do. In the preceding chapter, we see how Moshe performed the necessary sacrifices and cleansing instructions in order to set the dwelling place and all its furnishings apart, as well as for Aharon and his sons. And now that they have, in effect, been shown what to do and have been set apart to do the service of the tabernacle, they would now, on the eighth day, begin to do what was required. And this is where I feel like we have failure a lot of times. Our eighth day never comes. We're still waiting to get there. We don't know yet. Hold up. You ever seen somebody that's scared? Maybe it's their turn to jump. And it's just a small jump. And they'll get to the edge and they hold up. Don't rush me. Hold up. And they'll go and they wait. You see these funny videos, they make them. Hold up. And they might turn around and do like this. Listen, we can't be doing that when we're living for the Lord. You can't be doing this. You gotta go if you're going. And when you go, you know that you put your full trust. Your life is in Jehovah's hands. Then he knows. Listen, you don't think Abraham was there going, hold up. You sure, God? He took the knife out and he got stopped right there because it was done as good as done. And when God knew it was good as done, he stopped it. Let me tell you, he's not in the business of setting you up for failure. He don't want to hurt you. He has He says, I got my plan for you is of peace and not of evil. Peace and not of evil. Very important. So I think about this all the time. I think about it all the time. So if you're ever doing something and you're coming into an area or something that you're not sure of, and all of a sudden, what's the first thing going to come creep in? Fear. Fear comes. Why does fear come? Because it wants to mess with your faith. Fear comes to mess with your faith. The moment you feel that, you got to say, God, I know that your plans for me is of peace and not of evil. And I'm doing what you asked me to do. And if there's anything I'm not doing correct, I'm asking you to forgive me and please show me clearly so I can do that, because I desire to do that. It's okay to be honest with God, because whether you're honest or not, He knows. It's okay. But you got to let them words come out your mouth so you can hear them with your own ears. Don't just think it in your brain. Let them come out your mouth. You got to make yourself to be vulnerable before the Lord. You got to realize that He is your source. He's everything. So when you have a situation come up, you got to make your case known to the Lord. It's okay. Wherever you're weak, don't think you're strong. Say, I'm strong. I'm good. I got it. I'm good. You know, you go, oh, wait, hold up. Okay, I'm ready now. They're not ready. I'm ready now. I'm going this time. Oh, man. Listen, it's our turn. And when it's your turn, you got to be relaxed in the presence of Jehovah, knowing that you're in the Most High's presence and you do the job, the task that you've been trained to do. Was Aharon's sons trained? So there wasn't a training problem. It wasn't a training problem. It was a problem that they had because they got mixed up in some stuff they shouldn't have been in. Now I know I'm about to do the whole Torah, but there are so many things I'm leaving on the table. So Aharon's sons got themselves in trouble because they was sipping on the wine a little too much. And so they didn't realize what they were doing. That's why the Bible says, be sober. Be sober. Don't get intoxicated with the cares of this world or with intoxication off of alcohol. Don't get intoxicated, because you don't know what you're doing when you're intoxicated. Now, some of you can look back a few years ago and you can remember when you got intoxicated and you're trying to figure out, now, how did I get back home? You don't even remember how you got back home. So you don't even know what you did. Did I kill somebody? What did I do? Am I still married? Do I still have a job? Do I have any money left? And you can't figure it out. Why? Because you got intoxicated. Well, here's the two sons of Aaron. They walking around. They shouldn't have been doing what they were doing. They should abstain from that. That was the command, because they had to go before Jehovah. So they walk in there, not thinking, this is Jehovah. And so they take, is this the spot, brother? Oh, yeah, this is it. But it was their fire that they had for their burning. They took those coals and carried them on in and didn't take it off the golden altar. I'm going to know that's a bad mistake. And so what happened, the beam of light, not yellow fire, but blue. How many of you ever seen blue fire? Sometimes you'll see a blue flame will come out of high voltage electricity and zap both of them instantly. Now, in the presence of Aharon, what did he say? He didn't say nothing. He didn't cry. He didn't whimper. He froze. He figured out real quick, God's serious. I just want you to know, sometimes we get involved and we get real relaxed, because we've been doing it for so long. But I'm going to tell you, God is serious. He's serious about this. He don't mind being God. He don't mind blessing you. He don't mind doing whatever you need to be done, because He loves you and He cares about us. He wants to do it. But He does mind if we treat Him with disdain. He minds that if we treat Him with disrespect. When I was studying the glory, one of the things that I studied was the kabod. The weightiness of God, the kabod. And I know you've heard me say this, but I can't say it enough. Maybe it was these guys on the job. And they're all sitting around chit-chat talking, and it's time, they're on the clock. And they're kind of just chit-chatting. And all of a sudden, they see a vehicle pass, and they said, "That's the boss. That's the boss's truck." Man, they grabbing hard hats, and they're getting busy. Now, they were chit-chatting on the clock when the boss wasn't in sight. But when they saw that truck, they did that. Now, guy over here, he's not really paying attention. He says, "Man, what they doing over there?" He comes over there, hard hat off, you know, just. And the guy said, "Hey, dude, that's the man right there. And he carries some weight around here. He carries a lot of weight. The kabod is the weightiness or the heaviness of God. It's what we give him." And what did he say in Malachi? He talks about a son having respect. But he asked this question, if you could do that, where's my glory? Where's the glory that I'm supposed to have seeing that I'm God? And so we can never forget that. And this is what he's saying. So when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, whatever you've learned from the seventh day, the Shabbat day, now you got to put it in action on the eighth day. Whatever you're doing, I can tell you, do it with all your might. Do it with everything that's in you. Don't try to put it off to God that it's not really important. It's very important. Very important. I hope you see that. The picture that we can draw from this is a wonderful reflection of just how Yeshua, Messiah, came and walked this earth, showing us how we ought to live according to the instruction of the Torah of Jehovah. And so we too, like Aharon and his sons, have a responsibility to do what has been shown to us in the Torah of Elohim and walk as Messiah walked. I don't know how we don't get this. But even, you know, I started on this, putting this together on last Shabbat that evening. I started putting it together. And went through a few slides, and then I said, you know what? I'm just going to meditate on what I've already started on, just meditate on it for about a day. So the next evening, I was doing some more stuff, and I went back and redone the entire thing because I felt like there was some stuff that wasn't in here. Now, just because of that, I didn't say, well, I got a bunch of slides, so I'll just leave the rest up to whoever. But I've been meditating on it all week because of how powerful Shemini is. And the value, importance of it. And so even today, I was meditating on it today as I was on my way in, just thinking about it. I said, God, you're so amazing. I'm asking you to help me to get this better. I feel like I'm failing in these areas, but I'm asking you for your strength and for your assistance. And you know what? If we're asking to be, it's okay. When you're weak, you got to tell you you're weak. Because in your weakness, you can be made strong if we're honest with the Lord. He'll help us. And so I got home, and I was sitting there just going over it. And it's a limited time after you get home. Everybody knows that, right? But I put these verses in right here because they meant something. Christ, our advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, I write this to you so that you do not sin." I mean, you know, this is important. I got my attention. So what he's writing to is that I might not sin. How many want to help with not sinning? Anybody want to help with that? We all need help with that. So he's about to tell us. If anyone sins, we have an intercessor with the Father, Yeshua Messiah, a righteous one. Why is Yeshua righteous? He's like Moshe. He went in there. Did Moshe bring strange fire? He knew better. Don't sip on the wine tonight. You got responsibilities. You're about to go before Jehovah. It wasn't a wine restriction for them, but they shouldn't have done it that day because they had responsibility. They were going to work. If you're going to work, you don't do it. You have responsibility because there's a chance you get a little out of hand. You start feeling good. Your shoulders get loose. The hips get loose. Before you know it, give me another one. Well, guess what? You're about to go before Jehovah. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And that's what they did. But Yeshua understood this, and so he's explaining this to us. Now watch what he says. And he himself is the atoning offering for our sins. So we're not talking about bulls and goats and calves. We're talking about him being the atoning offering for our sins. So I'm just asking you this question. So just how many times do you want to crucify him again? 100? Is that too many? That's about 1,000. Think about it. How many times do we want to crucify him again? Because every time we get out of line and we are asking for the blood of Yeshua to come and cleanse us and mercy to come and for him grace to come, just remember, when he does send that, we have crucified him again and he had to send it again for us because we messed up. But he's writing this to us that we might not sin. He himself is an atoning offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for all the world. That means every person that you know, that you see, that you might watch on YouTube or TV, every person you ever met, your family members, whether they don't matter if they're saved, he was the atoning offering for you and all the world. Every person. Now, how powerful is that? Now, when Aaron's sons went in there, they had to take the bull. Moshe explained to them what to do. When in chapter 8, who did everything? In chapter 8, that was last week. We didn't get to it, but you should have read through it. In chapter 8, Moshe did it. But in chapter 9, he said, it's your turn. Now Moshe backs out like this. It's your turn. Yeshua's the same thing. He backs away. Where's he? Is he here? Only by set-apart spirit do we have the close union. That's it. But where's Yeshua? At the right hand of the Father. Now, he's interceding for us because he's saying, every time we make a mistake, Lord, I'm asking you, give him a chance. Help him. You know what intercession is, huh? You know what an advocate is, right? You do know a person who speaks on your behalf. You do know that, right? That's constantly. Constantly, he's going before Jehovah on our behalf. So it's not an issue there. It's not an issue with the atoning offering. There's no issue there. But the issue comes when we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Let me just tell you, your eighth day has come. It's your turn. You're going to see this. And by this we know that we know him if we guard his commands. So he's saying here, in essence, we don't even know him if we don't guard his commands. Folk going around talking about, I feel the Spirit of God. You feel something, but it's not the Spirit of God. There's no doubt you're feeling something. Because if you felt the Spirit of God like you say, why you don't do what he says? But wait, this gets better. And one who says, I know him, and does not guard his command is a liar. I don't know how plain you can put it there. Says, I know him, but don't guard his commands. That guy's a liar. Now, I don't know if you met any liars, but they come by the batches full. Do you want to be one in here? Because if we're not going to do what he said, then we are liars too. The one who says, I know him and does not guard his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever guards his word. Now, did he give us a word? He gave us a word. Truly, the love of Elohim has been perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. The one who says he stays in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. This is clear to me. You're going to say, I'm in him. Nobody can tell me I'm in him. I guarantee you I'm in him. Who are you trying to convince, me or you? When folks start off with that, I can assure you they're trying to convince themselves, and they sure ain't got a chance to convince me when you haven't even convinced yourself yet whether or not you're in him. Because the way we tell you in him, you keep his commands. Is his commands grievous? Are they too heavy? Are they burdensome? What did Yeshua say? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Moshe is a metaphoric picture for us of the Torah that instructs us to walk in righteousness. And so Messiah, the living embodiment of the Torah, the Word made flesh, came to instruct us on how we ought to live in righteousness before Him as we serve as a called out and set apart priesthood. You know, people want, they don't mind reading that Peter scripture about we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. They like being acknowledged as that. But the responsibility that comes with that, when you start talking about, well, that's good. I'm glad you quoted that verse. You know what the priesthood responsibility is? Let me just explain it to you. Because you're the royal priesthood. You're the chosen generation. Let me explain that to you. You don't just get the name. You don't just carry the title that you belong to this certain family. You got a responsibility. So we quote these verses just because we think we can just attach them to wherever we want to, and it's just not so. Now we all know that there is no eighth day of the week, and so this number carries great insight and significance for us too. In instructing us on how we are to walk continually in Messiah, and what this also pictures for us is that the kingdom of Jehovah will be made up of responsible and set-apart servants who are always at the immediate beck and call of Jehovah. The eighth day is also the day when a young baby boy was to be circumcised. I'm going to give you all of these, and let me tell you, it's very important. Why the eighth day? When the boy is circumcised, it's meaning it's now it's time for the covenant connection. Everybody say covenant connection. Now it's time for the covenant connection. Listen, you're fine. You're sitting in a room and the guy's talking about the paperwork and all of that, and he's reading it through, and you're looking at the prize sitting out on the showroom floor, and you say, come on, give it to me. Just give it to me. Give it to me. You know, I'm ready for it. You've been waiting. Well, you ain't getting it, no matter how bad you want it, until you come into the covenant. How many know what that means? You got to sign right here. You sign on the dotted line. Now we got a covenant. Now you can take what is on the showroom floor. So we want eternal life. We want the blessings. We want God's favor on our life. But have we walked into the covenant? When does that happen? On the eighth day. Aaron and them were practicing to be priests, but they weren't ready until the eighth day. After 7 days of consecration in the mikvah, now they're ready to walk into it. But let me tell you, it all wakes you up when month one comes. And you look at that paperwork and you see that note. You go, this is real, ain't it? Yeah, it's real. You better believe it. And that's one. Flip the book over, you got 105 of them, or whatever your terms are. It's all real. Well, guess what? Moshe took them to the gate. He said, come on, boys. They went in. They thought he was going. He just backed out. This is real, ain't it? This is serious. Oh, yeah, it's serious. You better believe it's serious. It's your turn to get connected to the covenant. Up until then, they could have made mistakes. They were learning. They were being instructed. But after a certain point, so it's our responsibility. Amen? So the baby boy was circumcised, and this symbolizes being turned over to the covenant. How many want to be turned over to the covenant? So this is real commitment here. You know, I remember when I got turned over to the covenant with Miss Charlotte. We dated for 5 years. But then I got turned over to the covenant, and that was the end of that. We didn't date after that. The Bible says when a man has found a wife, he's found a good thing. Let me help somebody here who's not married. You don't need to look for a girlfriend, you need to look for a wife. You don't have instructions on to find a girlfriend in the scripture, but he said you got to look for a wife. Too many people looking for a girlfriend. You got to look for your wife, not a girlfriend. And so you say, how easy is it? Just simple. When I messed up with Miss Charlotte and we didn't see one another for a year, the Lord dealt with me and says, why have you done that to your wife? There's nobody else in this world for you but her. Now, I'm either going to fight with God, which I lose. You lose that every day of the week. Or I'm going to say, Lord, I messed up. I need your help now. And what does he do? He helps. Thank God. Amen. So you look for you're looking for your wife, not your girlfriend. Your girlfriend ain't going to help you. Or your boyfriend ain't going to help you. You're looking for that spouse. That's what the scripture trains us in. So we got to be turned over to the covenant. The firstborn animal was taken from its mother on the eighth day. So when the firstborn has to be given to Jehovah, you don't wait till the ninth day. You don't wait for the tenth day. You take it after 7 days, that's taken for Jehovah. That's the gift. It's taken on the eighth day. Because that animal now, it's with its mother. It's enjoying its life for 7 days. Now it's time for you to get connected to the covenant. And you're going to be that sacrifice to Jehovah. How many see how this all makes sense? We also take note that a leper was also cleansed on the eighth day. He separated for 7 days. On the eighth day, he's cleansed. Now he's cleansed from what? His leprosy. Then he's brought back to where? Where is he brought back to? He was put out of the camp, but he's brought back to where? Back in the camp. So he's connected back to the covenant. He was out of covenant because he was leprous. Now we all been in this condition. When we were in our sin, we would disconnect from the covenant. Now this happens from time to time with folks who've been in the covenant, out the covenant, in the covenant, out the covenant. And you can tell it's different. They don't feel the same. They got some weird feeling going on in them. You ask them what's going on. I don't know. That's a good indication you have disconnected from the covenant. Now, I can only tell you that is not good. You'll bring all sorts of stuff against you because you was once connected. Now you're disconnected. You can get yourself in a world of trouble and you can get in there quick. So if you know anybody that's disconnected from the covenant, you tell them about tonight. You get this to them. You write it down right now. I'm gonna write it down right now. I need to let them know. Don't be disconnected from the covenant because you get yourself in trouble. We also take note that a leper was cleansed on the eighth day as instructed in Leviticus 14. At the Feast of Sukkot, the last day, which is the eighth day, is called Shemini Esrei. It refers to the set-apart assembly gathering that is to take place on the eighth day. The Hebrew word Shemini is H8066, as we said, means eighth. And the word for Esrei, Strong's 6116, means a set apart assembly, assembling together, solemn assembly. The very thing that we are instructed to do on the eighth day of Sukkot. Leviticus 23:36. Both of these words are used here. Leviticus 23:36, for 7 days you are to bring an offering made by fire to Jehovah. For 7 days. Now let me tell you, everything he does has meaning. Everything ties together. There's no stuff that just runs off and we don't know what's going on here. It's not like that. He ties everything together. He says, for 7 days you're to bring an offering by fire to Jehovah. On the eighth day there shall be a set apart gathering for you. And you shall bring an offering made by fire to Jehovah. It is a closing festival. You do no civil work. That's why it's a high Shabbat. I mean, thank God that he unfolds these principles for our lives. It was on the eighth day of Sukkot where Yeshua spoke the following words. Let's listen to what he said. In John 7:37 and verse 38, and on the last day of the great day of the festival, Yeshua stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and let him who believes in me drink. As the scripture says, out of his innermost shall flow rivers of living water. you thirst, you do what? You drink. What did he tell the woman at the well? She says, he's talking about, give me a drink of water. And he said, if you know who you were speaking to, I'll give you a drink of water. You never thirst again. She said, I want that water. What was she saying? I want to be saved. He said, oh, well, good. I want you to be saved. And her life changed that day. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because she took a drink of the living water. Do we get a chance to drink the living water? Absolutely. We get a chance to drink the living water. We have the instructions. We take a good swig of that living water, and then we move forward. We got to be doing something. Amen? How do we know that this was the last day of the 8th of Sukkot? Well, in Yohanan chapter, in John 7:2, we see the clear reference to the Feast of Booth that was near. John 7:2, and the festival of the Hewedim was near the festival of Sukkot. This Shemini Azeret is a celebration of a new beginning. As we see from Scripture, the 8th day is always symbolic of a renewal or the new beginning or completion and readiness for new things. The priests did not start their service to Jehovah until the 8th day after a period of 7 days of consecration. 7 days of consecration. I'm getting all week. I was just still trying to get my mind wrapped around how in the world do you go through 7 days of being in his presence and then you mess up so big when it's your turn. It just blows my mind. It really does. So I started thinking about it. I started thinking about, we all sitting here, every one of us. So I'm going to be at Shabbat. I'm going to go on Friday night. I'm going to do the feast day. I'm going to wear the tzitzit. I'm going to do all I'm supposed to do. But you can do all those things and still miss it big time by not paying attention to detail. Detail. You say, why does God have to be so precise? Because that's the kind of God he is. He's got the glory that we have to give him. We got to recognize that as far as God is concerned, as far as Jehovah is concerned, there's no one like him. No one. I don't care what it is in life that's going on. There's nothing that's more important than him. And I know you got your family, you got your children, and we all love our family and children. But if you want to be a person who supports your family and takes care of your family, you're going to recognize God for who he is, so he can strengthen you and empower you and bless you so you can tend to the responsibility you have. I promise you that's the chain that we have to follow. We follow that, you can't go wrong. One of the things that was a blessing in my life, and all my siblings are here, they can testify to this. One thing that's a blessing to us is the one thing we knew, this is what we knew, this to be a fact, that our parents put God first. And as a result of that, you're looking at it. And we knew that. We didn't have to ask that question. We didn't have to say, are we going to church still? There was no question. We were going to be committed to God in a little bit we might have knew. We were committed, 100%. As we grew and however God decided to do it, whatever we want to call it, but we could only know what we knew. He said they have eyes to see but see not, ears to hear but hear not. They have a heart to know but don't understand. But when the curse lifted and he started opening our eyes, it didn't change anything. They're still sitting here today. That's all we ever knew. They knew God was the most important thing in your life. That was drilled in me from the time I can remember. My siblings couldn't testify to that. That was a fact. God is the most. We never just see them quit and go out and do other stuff. We never seen that, ever. And I thank God for that. And let me tell you the reason, why is that important? Because they figured something out. Maybe they didn't have all the understanding. They didn't know a single Hebrew word their entire life. But they knew one thing, God is God and he always will be God. Knew that for a fact. Knew it, period. It was done and settled in that. Got all in. And when it came time to go with God, they didn't get there and do this. They went. And they trusted God. And that's what the results you get. And it impacted my life, and it's still impacting my life today. And a different generation comes. Who do we think we are that we don't have to take our turn? Think about it. It's our turn. And so I don't want my kids to think that somehow they're going to see me doing something different. I have a responsibility, and I'm going to make sure that I hold to that responsibility. Because let me tell you, stuff comes and goes, and there's days that you want to quit and you feel like quitting, and there's nothing going to stop you from quitting. You better stop and think about what you're about to do, because you bring that strange fire, you get yourself dead. And some of you come very close to getting that happen to you. But thanks be to Yeshua, who interceded for us when we couldn't pray for ourselves. And he helped us get out of that mess we were in, and we were in a mess. Thank God that he helped us. Amen? And so, if you think I'm ate up with this, I am. Because this is important to us. It's valuable to our life. And I pray that you would do the same thing to your children. Don't let them ever see you quit and give up and can't figure and make your mind up. You see them pushing forward. And if you're not following, you can't proclaim it and not do it. So check yourself tonight. Whatever you got to do, you do it with everything you do. Your kids will make sure that they watch you and witness you do the right thing. There's nothing more comforting to a child when they brought to Shabbat service and mom and dad sitting right next to them. There's nothing more comforting than that. You can't buy them enough toys to make them feel as good as that feels to them, because that's priceless. They get to witness it. And you don't think that's true? Ask some of the folks in here that never got that luxury. They never got that luxury, and it was tough for them. Those are the folks you stay up in the night and you pray, God, give them strength, Lord. They might not have real mom and dad, but you're the Father. You're our Heavenly Father, and we thank you for being faithful to them. And he's been that. He's been that to you. And so thank him extra when you get a chance. Thank him, Lord. Thank you for being my Father and always being there. That's how faithful he is. There's nothing, you can't say enough about him. Anyone who had an infectious skin disease or a bodily discharge was unclean for 7 days and would be separated from the camp and only re-enter on the 8th day after their status changed through the mikvah cleansing. From the time of the waving of the sheave of the first during Matzah to Shavuot, Pentecost was 50 days, which is a period of 7 weeks and 1 day. It's all over Scripture. This thing's absolutely incredible. In the 8th week, the Spirit was poured out upon the emissary. The Spirit was poured out in the 8th week. So we have 7 weeks, 49 days, and 1 day. Is that not in the 8th week? It is. It's in the 8th week. And the Spirit was poured out on the emissary. They were sitting in the house where they were gathered for Shavuot, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. The prophetic shadow picture of the 8th day is a picture of the eternity rather than returning to the 1st day as we usually do after the Sabbath, and thus it illustrates the new heavens and the new earth. Wow. When all that is accomplished during the 7,000 years of building the kingdom will be finished, for even during the kingdom there will still be major adjustments to make, and we will finally be the kingdom. We will be the kingdom. Amen. Coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of the festival of Shavuot had come, they were all with one mind in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the set apart Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them to speak. Each week we typically have an 8th day after the weekly Sabbath, so to speak. And while we know that this is the 1st day of the week, what we see symbolically being expressed here is that we are to go out from the 1st day of the week and live according to that which has been shown. Why? Because now you've been connected to the covenant. That means you got to do something now. It's not good enough for us to get in here and put slides together and each one get up here and give you the spill for whatever it is. We get maybe 5 hours or 6 hours a week. That's not good enough. We have a responsibility. When it leaves from this pulpit, from these lips, you take it in. Now you can't go home and say, I don't remember what they said. If I'd be handing out $1 million prizes, you'd listen. You get to the edge of your seat. Well, I'm handing out way more money than that. I'm trying to show you how to get favor with God. You get favor with God, and you got it. Favor with God means while you and I are doing whatever we want to do, saying whatever we want to say, God on our behalf is working on people to put in your life to be a blessing to you. I've had that happen countless times. That's why I've never been interested in chasing the dollar. I could have chased it many times. I could have been a millionaire many times over. But I'd rather have favor with God than have that. Because that's the real measure, that's the real riches. Real riches is those who have favor with God. Amen? How many want favor with Him? To get favor with Him, you have to do what He says. How do your children get favor? They constantly not listening to you. No matter what you tell them, they just saying, I ain't doing that. You're not going to take them out and buy them something. If you do, no wonder they're the way they are. They're not the problem. You're the problem if you're doing that. When they get favor with you because they're obedient and they respect you and they give the glory that you deserve as their parent, then you go out and get them something. But if you're getting them stuff and they're acting the way they're acting, you're the reason. And same with God. God's not going to bless us when we don't deserve the blessing because we'll never change. So what happens? He steps back. Let's cause and effect take place. Then we figure out, I messed up. God, I'm sorry. I can't believe I did something that was so uncalled for. I ask you to forgive me and allow me back in the covenant. And you recognize that you're not going to do that again. You don't go back and repeat it. You know it's not good. It's not good for you. So you get straight and you realize that having the favor is so much better. So much better. What we see symbolically being expressed here is that we ought to go out from the first day of the week and live according to that which we have been shown in the Torah of Moshe on the seventh day, which is Shabbat. How many can go out and practice this? What are we talking about? As we continue to live set apart lives in service to Yehovah, we must grow from week to week and not find ourselves in a position of having slipped back or shrunk back into captivity or the traditions and doctrines of men, but rather press on with great endurance toward the goal that is Messiah as we live according to His Torah that He teaches us each week. Now, sometimes I'm going through this, and as I'm going through it, the Lord will bring a thought to me, and I'm gathering my thoughts for tonight. And so the way I do it is I take that thought, and I bank it in my mind, and I say, Lord, if I'm supposed to remember this, You're going to bring it immediately back to me. I don't write it down. I banked it in my mind. I did it in this particular thing. I was sitting there, and I sat there for several minutes, and I contemplated these thoughts. And the Lord just reminded me of them thoughts. Now, I had a lot of stuff going on since I had this thought, but that's how faithful the Spirit of God is. If He wants it said, He'll remind you. You got to put faith in Him for that. Sometimes you know, I used to make notes all the time about everything, every thought I had. So I'm trying to get through my thoughts. I was just sharing my thoughts rather than what the Word of God said. So I quit doing that. And I said, Lord, what You want me to say, I'll say it. And if not, then I won't say it. I'm okay with that. So if it goes 5 minutes, we'll go 5 minutes. But I ain't ever been a 5-minute guy. At least I can't remember anyway. So anyway, here's my thoughts with this. I'm going to read it again. I want you to listen carefully. As we continue to live set-apart lives in service to Yehovah, we must grow from week to week and not find ourselves in the position of having slipped back or shrunk back into the captivity of the traditions and doctrines of men, but rather press on with great endurance toward the goal, that is Messiah, as we live according to His Torah that He teaches us each week. So what happens is, I look in the audience, and I remember seeing other folks. And I remember being pressed in Bible studies, why are we not doing this yet? And I had to say, hold on now. And I've heard people say, man, you just don't know how powerful they are. They know some stuff, Pastor. They know some stuff. Okay, well, how much do they know? Where are they? They done shrunk back. Why? Because they had a big zeal at the beginning. And they were trying to coach everybody to run. You're not running fast enough. You got to run with me. And I always tell folks, listen, you take the pace God has given you, but you have a responsibility to learn what He's teaching you. My question is, where are you now? Because I had some questions that were posed to me about certain speakers who wasn't following the dietary laws. I said, well, we're going to get there. Now, if you want, I can give it all to you in one shot. And then, there goes your mind. The moment you tighten up a little bit, that's what folks are doing, shrinking back. Just shrinking back. Not a mad dash, it's just a shrink back. Then you'll see them, they'll go to your house, but not to the house of Jehovah. Let me just tell you, don't give the platform. Don't get involved in it. Because if they won't go to Jehovah, don't give them a spot. You got to be adamant about that. And I think that'll help somebody. Very important, because they have to know what true separation is. When you separate yourself, you got to feel what that feels like, and it don't feel good. But you can't have you want to have your cake and eat it too. It don't work like that. If you're going to be committed, you get committed. And don't worry about everybody else. I'm telling you, you want to build your faith? Trust God, like we say? Don't worry what anybody else is doing. You got to make sure you're doing it. You say, well, I'm going to do it when everybody else does it. You're too late. You're waiting for people who don't even know what they want to do yet. You do it. When you do it, you'll find out that Jehovah can move for you. You know, we got men or women, don't make a difference. Maybe they don't have their better half serving God, and they're doing it by themselves. You do it with all your might. Don't wait until he gets it or she gets it. You don't ever know what they're going to do. But they ain't got a chance if you don't get it when you're already in. When you're hearing it, you're not getting it, they don't have a chance. Because they're looking at you for that truth. And when they start seeing the fruit of truth come out of you and permeate from you, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on, you don't wait. The climate don't affect what's going on in your life. You're steady. You're constant, because that's what the Torah is. It's constant. It's steady. The word of Jehovah. And Yeshua, he lived by it. If you want to know why he was so successful, that's what he lived by. He lived by it every moment of his life. He studied it and he knew it. He was the living Torah. And that which we learn weekly on his Shabbat is now expected to be performed in faith straight away on the eighth day, which is the first day, and we are not to procrastinate about our responsibility of serving as set apart people. We're set apart. We're chosen royal priesthood. That word procrastinate, some folks that eat up with it. I'm gonna. Later. Tomorrow. After a while. When it's on your mind to do it, you better do it, because you're gonna forget it. You'll do it all the time. You get a habit of doing it. Before you know it, let me tell you, you gotta learn this. You learn it the hard way. Let me tell you, I've learned some lessons. You know, I got this. You're going wide open, you're getting everything ready. And you're getting the boat ready. Ooh, I got it. I take off. Whoa. I go all the way out. I didn't even bring the bait. Because I said, when it hit me, bait, I said, I'm going to get it after I do the ice. God was trying to tell me, son, bait now. Bait now, son. Bait now. Because when I got the ice, I looked at something else. It might have been a bird on a pole. I don't know. Whatever it was, I lost track of what I was supposed to do about the bait. I get all the way out there. Brother Chad, come in, Brother Chad. Come over here by me. He must have said, what pastor wants? He got by me. I said, how many bags of bait you got? He said, I got a couple bags. I said, I need one of them. It's just what it is. So, listen, it's okay, but you got to learn from that. So, let me tell you, when it comes to my mind, I don't care what I'm thinking about, I stop and go do it. That's what I practice it. Every day I practice that. Whatever, because the moment I don't do it, I'm going to forget. That's what it is. And so here I am. I'm out there. I got the Amish guys with me. AJ and his brothers, they're all with me, sitting there fishing. And I mean, we're pulling them in one after the other, red, just right there. Throw right there. I see this boat out the corner of my eye, and I didn't even look. I said, I want to look. They're coming on me. I said, okay, this is getting kind of, he's coming right to me. Man, he come right on the side. I had to stop the boat like that. It was one of the other guys. He said, man, Jesse, you ain't going to believe what I did. I forgot my bait. I said, I got two bags. It was done for me. I'm doing it for you. Made me feel good. Now, he was just a guy. He wasn't somebody that I knew very well. But we had a responsibility, right? If you're able to do it, you should do it. If you're not able, now if I only had a pound of bait, I said, man, all I got is a pound. And I got a still fish. But it was in my ability to do it because I had a whole bag I never even touched. I was only halfway through my first bag. Sure, here's a bag. Think about that. So sometimes you're going to make a mistake. It's okay. Get over that. Repent. Do right. And when it comes to your time, somebody else is going to do it. Make sure you should measure out the same measurement you requested when you did it. I was glad Brother Chad had an extra bag and it got me out of a bind. And it worked out good. So anytime you're out there and you're out of bait, look for me. I'll have some extra. We are chosen in royal priesthood. What is also interesting to take note of at the beginning of this chapter is that Moshe is the one who calls Aharon his sons and the elders, and then he instructs Aharon what to do. Moshe now represents the Torah which Jehovah had given to Israel. He's instructing him. What does the Torah do to us? It instructs us. What does Torah mean? Instructions. He's instructing us. Now, do we need instruction? Do we need instruction? Who in here just, you woke up and you got it figured out? We need instructions. From the time you were born, you needed to be instructed. You're born and you're there, and you know you're being carried, you're being fed, you're being changed. You have no cares in the world at all. Then you start getting a little older. You get to be one, and they're starting to, what are y'all doing here? You know, if the baby can talk. What are y'all doing? I like to be carried. What are you trying to make me do? Look, he's walking. I don't want to walk. But he's walking, look. Oh, man, now I got to walk. You get responsibility. You're being instructed. You're being instructed on how to walk. That's how you walk. One foot like that. And you go, then they put the food in front of you. You're looking at it. You want bottle. The food's there. So what do? You just put your hands in, it's all over the place. Then they come instruct you. Now listen, it's funny the first time. Second time, we all laughing. Third time, grandma and granny's on FaceTime. We all laughing. But the fourth time, you're going to get your butt beat if you don't eat right. instruction. We've been instructed. They get a little older. They get to be 3, 4, 5. And all of a sudden, you're getting them up. Say, okay, time to get up. Get up. I've been getting up at noon all my life. What are you talking about? Get up. You got school. I don't want a school. You got to get up. Instruction. See, then they get to be teenagers. Should I go on? Then they get married. Instructions. They'll give them to you from day one to the end of time. Instructions. You're being instructed. They're trying to get you better. Amen? So don't tell me you're not used to being instructed. And that's what the Torah does. It instructs you. Folks said, I don't want to be under the law. Who wants to be? We got grace. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to be. I want to be carried. I want to be fed. Listen, don't keep believing that. They've sold you a bill of goods and it's not worth the paper it's written on. Because we have to be instructed. And that's what the Torah does. Amen? Another aspect of the prophetic understanding of the eighth day is that if we have not been properly set apart and prepared during the 7 days, 7 millennium, then we shall not enter into the eternal reign of the renewed heavens and earth, but will be destroyed by fiery judgment of Elohim as pictured through the Torah portion. As we will look at through the examples of the two sons of Aharon that were disobedient on the eighth day and were struck dead by the fiery wrath of Elohim. I don't want to be struck dead by the fiery wrath of Elohim. So we know the world's not going to be consumed with water again, but what's going to burn it up next? The fiery wrath of Elohim. So you better get to practicing. So we keep Shabbat, we practice it, because we got the eighth day the next day. So that's every week you get to practice this thing. And then as a crescendo, we got Sukkot, and we have the last great day. It ought to be the biggest deal in our life when we get to that day. It ought to be celebration. And, you know, maybe this year we can maybe learn how to skip. Everybody, I mean, skip across the room or something. Say hallelujah or something. Say it 3 times in a row if you only said it once. But it ought to be a big deal to us. It ought to be a joyous time, a celebration. Because that's the final, that you make it to that day, and you miss the fiery wrath, but if you miss it, you're in trouble. And this is what happened to Aharon's sons. It's just sad that so soon, but God showed he ain't made to be fooled with. You can't fool with God. You do that, you get yourself in trouble. God's glory and the respect he requires, he demands it from us. So we have a responsibility. So, as pictured through the Torah portion, as we look at the example of the two sons of Aharon. So, consecration of Aharon and his sons. I put the 8th chapter of Leviticus in here. I'm going to stop right now. It'll be a good starting point. There's a reason. I want to explain to you why the 8th chapter, which is from last week's Torah portion, has to be put in here. We didn't go over any of it. So we want to read through it because we can't go to 9 without reading through it. So I put it all in here. So you'll see it. This entire thing's in here. And I pray that it'll minister to your hearts as it did mine. But my hope is that if there's anything that we have to realize is that the eighth day is of most important to us because we have to be connected to the covenant. Once it's your responsibility, that's a big deal. There comes a point, you get older. You start telling, well, when I get 18, I'm moving out. Tell your dad. Okay. Bye. Boy, they say that and you get all offended. What do you mean by? I ain't 18 yet. But we get a sense of, I'm the man now. Well, with that, if we don't train them early, okay, you the man. Don't call me for nothing. And they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out quick. I remember when I had my little tiff. I got in the car and I took off. I'm going. I'm just leaving. I got to town and there was nobody. I figured out, well, this is boring. And I'm hungry. And I ain't had no money. I'm looking at the signs, the McDonald's and the Burger King. They're all there. And they all auto people going in and out. But I can't go in. So you know what I did? I turned that car around. And I come right back and say, I messed up. It's, you know you think you got it, but you don't have it. And so he's telling them, 7 days, first day. You know, I don't know how Aaron and the sons, I don't know if they're paying attention or not. But when it came time for them to be turned over to their responsibility, we see by the proof, they didn't get it. They didn't really reverence the fact that they was in the presence of Yehovah. They didn't recognize that. And they paid with their lives. There was no mourning period. There was no funeral procession. None of that. It was done. Burned up. So hopefully we take some from that and we realize that we have a responsibility to love Him with everything that's in us. And wherever you're lacking, just ask Him. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Ask Him. If you're lacking in any area, say, Lord, I need your help in this area. I realize that I'm slacking here. I don't know why, but I'm slacking. Ask Him to help you and He'll help you. But nothing's going to stop the 8th day from coming. When Sunday gets here, we're going to enter in the 8th day. When we enter that 8th day, what's going to stop it? Can you say, time out, son, don't go down, don't come up? You can't stop it. Come tomorrow evening, we're going to enter into the 8th day. In the afternoon, nothing can stop it. So we might as well get with the program and realize that we have a responsibility to perform the Torah that we learned on the 7th day. Now, do you think the 7th day is important to you now? You better believe it. Because this is what happens. We miss the 7th day, and we say, well, I'll listen to it maybe. I can listen to it. And you never get around to that. And so there's a whole week of stuff that you need to perform in your daily life. And it's been my experience since we started this year that as I went through the Torah, there was always something in the Torah that I needed to use that week, that day. I needed to use it. And it's going to continue that way. And the whole week, you're using it, and you got something fresh on your mind. And maybe that's been your experience too. That shows you how good God is, that He don't send us out to fight in the battle without equipping us. He equips us, and we have the power to accomplish that which He wants us to. Amen? Let's stand together. When it gets like this, I could go on for 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours, no problem. But since we all got to go home and take rest, as Pastor KB puts it, we got to go take rest, he said. So we're taking rest. And then we're going to be here in the morning. You come believing, expecting God to do great things. You already know what the subject's going to be. Come ready to receive and ready to perform it. Amen? We have a duty to the covenant. Every person has a duty to the covenant. Now you notice Aaron's sons get burned up, but Aaron didn't get burned up. Everybody has their own responsibility. So you can do fine and the person next to you not do so fine. But if we'll listen to what he's saying, you're not left without help and instruction. You have the help you need if you take it to heart. Amen. So get ready for in the morning. It's going to be good. Appreciate you. Anybody have any prayer requests?